Go ahead.
Okay, part two. Okay, we're speaking about the foxes, the little foxes spoil the vine. And I'll give you the scriptures that you can look it up. Songs of Solomon 2:14-16. Matthew 8:20. Luke 9:58.
The second
one was Matthew 8:20, Luke 9:58. You can look it up in your time.
The three are up here, yeah.
Oh, okay, there's it over there. You guys have it?
Okay.
Okay, let's go. We spoke about unforgiveness, right? I want to give you all the scripture. Now, whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ. You know, we talk about forgiveness. You know, forgiveness is something that how, as Christians, we know we have to forgive. You know, and so we're like, oh yeah, I forgive you. You know, and lots of times it's only mouth, you know, we do it with our mouths, but we don't do it with our hearts. And forgiveness, first of all, forgiveness is a choice. Okay, we choose to forgive because the thing is when somebody does you wrong, it hurts your heart, right? And when you forgive, it does not bring, if you say, I choose to forgive, it does not bring healing to your heart immediately. It begins to start a process of forgiveness, start a process of healing inside of you, okay? And it's not about the person, it's after that person says, I forgive you, that person's hands are clean from that blood, but it's for you to begin to walk in that forgiveness. That's so. And so it's the issue of your heart, how you walk with forgiveness. Okay, so, and the church, 99% of the church, they unfortunately don't know how to walk in that place of forgiveness. Because if when someone says, I forgive you, it's down after, and then you receive forgiveness, and then after about an hour, after the next day, when the enemy comes in and he brings that back to you, assaults your mind with it, you need to recognize, first of all, he's assaulting your mind. And the next thing is, you resist his works. And how you resist it by, he comes and and we spoke about this before, but I just want to reiterate, you know, he comes and he gives you, puts a thought in your mind. You resist the thought. You stop there, right there. You don't let it go any further to the heart. Okay, so now you got control. You have control. You can control that. You say, no. Satan, you recognize Satan is attacking you. You say, no, I'm not going to receive that. So you begin to pray for that person. You begin to pray the best prayer ever for that person. Blessings over that person. And you continue to do that all day if you have to, if Satan is bringing it to your mind. And first of all, it guards your heart. The next thing what it does, it gives you the strength to walk. And eventually, the enemy does not attack you with it because he knows that you're walking in victory with that situation. Okay, so it's kind of like, okay, I can't attack her with that or can't attack him anymore with that. So, the praying for that person. So, if it has to be 5 times, 10 times, continue to pray. Bombard heaven. And you got in your heart. Okay, so that is the forgiveness part. That's when we can begin to walk in forgiveness and recognize that, you know what, the enemy doesn't have any weapons against me. That's an issue of our hearts that lots of the times in the church we don't recognize how to do that. Any questions? Is God showing you something in your heart that you have to be able to walk that, you know, that you're struggling with? You know, don't don't leave here today and just kind of, because this is what, so what happened is, you know, and this is the little boxes, okay? If God is showing you anything as we are speaking, begin to deal with it. Don't let it fall to the side, because you know what Satan will do is, he'll say, you know, after we finish, he'll say, oh no, that, you know, he'll make you kind of reason in your mind. But you know what, if you know that God is moving on your heart to certain areas, certain things, you know, begin to be strict with yourself. Be, say, no, this is what I'm going to do, because, you know, we as Christians, what we do, we take grace and we strip it off. We take the grace of God. And you know what, lots of times, God's grace is so amazing, but we override grace. And we need to stop doing that. We need to begin to, you know, appreciate the grace of God, but also we need to walk in the fear of God and walk in the righteousness of the Lord. Okay? Let's go to the next one. Okay, we spoke about be angry and do not sin. But do not let the sun go down on your wrath. How to use the weapons and authority when engaging in spiritual warfare. Okay, we spoke about the weapons. The first weapon is the name of Jesus. John 14:13-15. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, you will obey what I command. So, it's not just this year. We forget about, sometimes we say, oh, this is what God's word says. He says, whatever we ask in his name, he'll give it to us. No, 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 no. If we obey, we love him, then we're going to obey and we're going to do what he commanded us. We don't live under the command, we live under grace, but he did not take all the commandments and throw it out. We still live under the grace, and more such that we have to allow our hearts to be convicted. And now the commandments was like, don't do this, don't do that. Today the commandments is, if you think about it, it's even worse. You like, you did it. So it's kind of like we have to kind of allow the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts, and it's much more convicting, allowing the Spirit of God to convict us of our sin, you know, and walking in the righteousness of God. So we have to let go, get to that place. And you know what, if there is places in your life that you are walking in gray areas, there is no gray areas, there's black and white. Get out of that gray area. And if God, the Holy Spirit is showing you that's a gray area of your life, you know what, you need to kick it out. You need to say, God, I'm going to walk in black and white. It's yes or no. The Bible says your yeses must be yes and your noes must be no. You cannot be in a gray area. Because if you are in a gray area, that means you're being deceived by the evil one. Okay, so we have the authority in the name of Jesus, the Word of God. The Word of God, and that's why I was saying the Word is so powerful, that it is your weapon that you use, that you can stand against the lies of the wicked one. The Word, this is what Jesus said in Matthew 4, 1 and 3, it says, the Word, Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out from the mouth of God. Jesus, having the authority, confessed the written word, the sword of the Spirit, to stand against Satan. Jesus, who was the authority, was, he didn't have to use the word of God, but that's what he used. He used, because he was all powerful, all authority was, you know, was with him. And so if he can do it, then we should do it. Okay? So there, when we, and that's when I was telling you, is like the back of your Bible, you have a concordance, Or you can go to Bible Gateway on your concordance, you know, on your laptop, on the Bible Gateway, and look for the scripture. And say if you have fear, just go and just put fear there. Let all the scriptures come up and pick the scripture. So that's how you begin to be able to use the concordance in your Bible, use the concordance on the computer, and begin to let those words begin. And take a highlighter and begin to highlight those scriptures in your Bible. So you can be able to look at the scriptures all the time and let it. And write in your Bible. You know, you can write in your Bible, and because when you pray for someone or you're having a quiet time and that, you know, God will always quicken you with stuff that He has spoken to you early on, dates and whatever, you know. So write down stuff in your Bible. And, okay, the Word of God. Let's go down here, please. So these are the weapons that we use, okay? Standing against the enemy. Ephesians 6:17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The helmet of salvation. I'm not going to do... the next time I come, I'm going to do the armor of God. I'll do a whole teaching on the armor of God for you, right? Maybe I have to come to we'll see what happens. I think the armor of God is really, really important. Why you'll use the armor and what the armor means, okay? So I'm going to do the armor of God. So, but the helmet of salvation and the helmet of salvation is, when you put the helmet of salvation, it is protecting your mind. Okay? And that's why, you know, Satan always comes and attacks our mind. He attacks our mind and he attacks our hearts. Those are the two places that we have to guard from Satan. Every single day, the issues. And you know what? I tell you, guard from Satan, it's not guarding from Satan, but it's guarding from your relationships. When you're talking to people, you guard your heart. Don't allow stuff to get. Don't get offended. Don't allow bitterness. Don't let that unforgiveness grip come into your heart. That's what I'm saying is, don't allow Satan to come in, because that's opening the doors to say that's where the chinks in your armor will come in. Is it so? It's just for you to understand, okay, if I am walking in bitterness, if I'm angry with someone, if I have envy of someone, if I'm jealous of someone, it's a chink in your armor, and begin to deal with it. Go before God, just ask for God to forgive you and walk. And if the enemy comes back and he reminds you of it, it's done. Don't stand there in condemnation. That's where condemnation can too. Because when you ask God to forgive you for something, and the Satan brings it back to you, and he condemns you for it, say, no, God's forgiven me, I am moving on. Okay? Hebrews 4:12 says, God means what he says. It's a message Bible. God means what he says. What he says says goes. His powerful word is sharp as a surgeon's scalpel, cutting through everything, whether doubt or defense, laying us open to listen and obey. Nothing and no one is impervious to God's word. We can't get away from it, no matter what. Okay, let's open to Hebrews 4:12. I want to kind of just put it in your Bibles in the way that you see it in your Bible, so it'll be Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God is living. The word of God is alive. Okay? God's word is alive. So when you speak it, it has authority and it goes to accomplish what God said it will do. Okay, so when you begin to read God's word, it's living. It's alive. Okay? God's word is alive, it's living and powerful. believe God's word, not just read it and let it fall down to the wayside. We have to allow that word to pierce into our hearts. And sharper than any two-edged sword. Just, can you just imagine this here, like a sharp sword that you got in your hand that is two-edged, and you're just like piercing, and you're piercing something and you're just cutting it down. It's sharp. And that's the word of God. When we begin to speak the word of God, that's what happens. The word goes forth and it cuts. Okay? And so that's the authority and the power that we, the word has in our lives. And if we take that word and we use that word and we do not have any stuff and issues in our hearts, and we walk in repentance and that kind of stuff, you know how powerful we, each one of us, will be as a weapon in God's hands. How powerful our prayers would be just going straight into the spiritual atmosphere. Let me tell you something. When we pray, okay, we will intercede. Okay, today was your day for intercession, okay? If all of us stood up here and we're like, oh, okay, Lord, bless you, we praise you, and Lord, yeah, you know, we are standing in the gap at interceding for other people. If we stand in the gap and intercede for other people, and if we have issues in our hearts that we didn't deal with God, okay, so when God is in heaven, we are here on earth, okay? And when God is looking down at us, what is God looking at? God is looking at our hearts, isn't that so? So, if I'm dealing with an unforgiveness in my heart, maybe Alan has got bitterness and stuff in her heart because she's dealing with something. Maybe you're dealing with some jealousy or whatever, you know. And now, three of us, others dealing with stuff. If we did not take it before the Lord and say, Father, please forgive me, you know, and didn't get clear, but because that becomes an issue, that becomes, it closes ourselves to the Lord, isn't that so? It just covers, that sin covers us from the Lord. So what happens is, we are having this huge prayer meeting and we're excited, we're going to get breakthrough, but we have other people, the three of us, have not dealt with our sin, and so we become stumbling blocks to God to bring breakthrough with other people's prayer. How can we petition God for someone else when we can't even outpraise God up there and it just comes back down? We cannot go into the presence of God. Because when we begin to have quiet times, what happens first when we have quiet times, when we go into the presence of God, we worship? The first thing happens is we begin to see our sin, isn't that so? Our sin comes before us. When we go and have a quiet time and we just worship Him, we don't even have to say anything. We come into the presence of God, we see our sin. And we say, Lord, please forgive us, before we even do anything. And that's because the presence of God, His light begins to shine on us and our sin comes up before Him. Okay? It's not because He's a God, an ugly God. He's a God that just like an ogre. No, because He's a pure God. He's a good God. And our sin comes before Him, and all He wants us to do is repent, and then we can go on. But that's what we have to know is, when we stand in intercession, and that's why even I always tell people, when we have intercession in groups, you know what? Don't worry about if two or three people come. It's fine, because instead of having a whole bunch of people and you don't get your prayers answered, you know, if you get three people that pray, and I'm not saying, I'm just kind of identifying, I want you to identify as when we pray, what happens, how important it is to get our hearts right before God, get our issues right. We don't have to share with the whole world, but it's just like, okay, God, I'm really dealing with this, you know, just forgive me, let our prayers be a sweet smelling aroma to your nostrils, forgive me for these issues that I have in my heart. And then we'll begin to see our prayers being effective in the presence of God. We'll see breakthroughs, we'll see healings, we'll see Moana Lua coming to the Lord. We'll see your prayers will be so, so powerful and effective. of God will begin to grow and take us to the next level. And you know, with God, you know, God can do anything. You know, and He will answer prayers. And that's why I think intercession is just, it's good, but we have to know when we do intercession how it has to be effective. And that's what will happen. It will be very effective. Between you and God, if you're dealing with the issues of your heart before God. Okay, and the scripture says, and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joint and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. The thoughts and the intents of the heart. Okay, that's what the Word of God does. Okay, you can highlight in your Bible, and you know, oh, even if you don't have a highlighter, just underline it on your Bible. Can
I just read it?
Explain
the difference between soul and spirit.
Okay, piercing even to the division of your soul and your spirit. Okay, the soul is like the soulish realm. It's kind of like the soulish realm is like our human side. Of, you know, the soul, the soulish realm, the spirit, like when we die, the spirit goes to heaven and the soul dies. So here in the, on earth, we're always dealing with the soulish realm. We're dealing with the flesh. The soulish realm is always like the flesh. So you're kind of like dealing, you're always, we have to deal very like, okay, let that soulish realm, we always go back to our sinful ways. But the spirit is always willing, but our soul, our soulish love is always, we always have this fight between, you know, our souls and our spirit. Understand? So whenever you're dealing with sin and you're kind of like, ah, I don't know whether I should get right. I don't know, you know, it's kind of like your soulish realm is the realm that you're living in this world that always gets a hold of you, and but your spirit is always willing. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, if I could share, I'm seeing a new perspective of this passage that I've never seen before, because I was thinking about what a two-edged sword is. What's the difference between a two-edged sword and a one-edged sword? What's the purpose of a two-edged sword? It cuts both sides, and it's used to, I think it's used for stabbing. It's used for piercing, because then it cuts both sides.
It pierces,
but the main thing is it can go in. It's not a slicer, it's a poker. And I'm thinking, the sword is not against, when you think about it, it's not whipping the devil.
No.
It's piercing your heart. It's like, it will separate your soul from your spirit, your flesh from your spirit. It will, basically, it will point out your own sin. You kind of turn the light on me when you said, when you go into quiet time, the first thing that comes up is your sin. When we study the Word of God, it should reveal in ourselves. It's doing that piercing and identifying the light to ourselves on what our sin is, and it discerns our thoughts and our intents of the heart, our soul and our spirit. It helps us. The Word of God will give us the insight into ourselves that separates our flesh from our spirit. That's what this is saying. And it started with why is it two-edged? I mean, you and me, an engineer, saying, why two-edged? Yeah. Why did they make a sword with two edges? And as I thought about it, and as you talked about seeing the sin in yourself when you go to the quiet time, I think that's what this passage is. That's the intent of the sword of the Spirit. And I just see it completely different from before, as a battle, an instrument to cut the enemy. It's really to pierce the heart, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of, it says of, yeah, and is the discerner
of thoughts,
the thoughts
and, the,
and
intents.
The intents of the heart. You know, look at the Word, how it becomes alive to you. You know, and this is what you have to, when you go into the presence of God, this is what you have to allow to pierce into your heart and say, God, this is what I desire more than anything in the world. You know, just go to God and just this today and say, Lord, you know, I'm willing, you know, whatever is in my heart, let it just show me my heart. you probably wouldn't not gonna like it, but he's gonna show you in your heart. You know, the first time God showed me my heart, and I sort of cried, you're like, oh.
don't show me.
But you know what? I tell you, you know, you get down to you know, okay, God, you know, just rip me and take all the rot and take all that stuff out of me, because I want to be pure on your side. I want everything that you have for me, you know. And when you do that, you know, I mean, it's hard to, you know, when he begins to show you your heart. But it's amazing when you allow him to come and bring healing, restore, and, you know, begin to separate stuff and just really show you the truth of what the enemy has been deceiving you, all the lies that he's been telling you for all these years, and that, you know. And I pray a really dangerous prayer to God, and I pray it, you know, at times, and I say, Lord, come and invade my life. Come and invade my life. I'm giving you permission to come and invade my life. Come and invade every area of my life. I mean, that prayer is so dangerous, I tell you. It is the most dangerous prayer you can pray, but it's the best prayer you can pray. You know, if you love God and you desire to walk with God, you know, and when he comes and invades, he does invade. He takes it all. The first time I prayed that prayer, and everything was falling apart, and I'm like, God, what are you doing? And he's like, you gave me permission to invade your life, now I'm invading your life. And he started telling me to cut off stuff that I loved, stuff that I wanted for my life, and he was like, no, I don't want that for you. And it was just tearing me apart. But you know what, when I look at it now, 19 years ago, I'm like, wow, God, thank you. So certain things in your life you think is going to be like, oh my word, this is what I want. But you know what? God knows best. So do it. Okay, let's go. That's it?
That was the second Hebrews,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Colossians 2:15. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Having disarmed principalities and powers. So Jesus disarmed the principalities and powers when he was on the cross. He did it. But we can do it in our lives. Principalities, you remember we spoke of principalities and powers? We can disarm those issues in our lives. We can disarm it, the principalities and powers. And Jesus made it a public spectacle of them triumphing over it, over them in it. And that's where we can close the doors to the evil one in our lives, of disarming our sin, disarming all the issues of our hearts and minds that the enemy makes us walk in his lies. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he is in the world. 1 John 4:14. And so the Spirit of God is inside of you, is bigger and is more powerful than anything else. For he that's inside of you is bigger than, greater than he that's in the world. That means Satan, and Satan does not have power and authority over your life. He doesn't have no open doors until you give him those open doors. Okay, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servant of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Isaiah 54:17. You probably heard that no weapon, we always use that, no weapon formed or fashioned against us will prosper. And that is a promise from God's word, that no weapon will form or fashion against you shall prosper. If you keep your issues of your heart dealt with over and over and over. Okay, the power of the Holy Spirit, John 14, 25 through 27. Someone want to read that? And this is the weapons that we use standing against the enemy in spiritual warfare, okay? What is it, John?
14.
Rituals, you know, sometimes you get tired of your prayers. If you are sitting over here and you're tired of your prayers, imagine you're tired of your prayers, how tired of God is of your prayers. You know, you get sick and tired of praying the same thing over and over. You know, and be careful that your quiet times doesn't become like rituals, because you can so easily get into a ritual, you know, and that's where when you're having your quiet times, you know, ask the Holy Spirit. You know, invite the Holy Spirit to come in, and you know what? This is surprising. This will surprise you. Do you know I don't pray for every member of my family every single day? I don't pray for my children every single day. Because it's kind of, you know what? I'm standing in the gap, and I'm praying what God's putting in my heart to pray. And if I need to pray for my children, God will, during the day, God will say, you know what? Pray for them. And I'll pray for them. But the thing is, and we get into a place of like ritual prayers of saying, you know, and it's kind of like we get so sick and tired of our prayers that we kind of like, oh, you know, I don't even know if I want to pray that. And I'm like, you know what, Lord, I want to be led by your Spirit. And so begin to change your quiet times. Begin to let God ordain your quiet times. Father, what do you want me to pray? How do you want me to pray? What are you saying to me today? You know, begin to get into a place of newness with Him, because God loves to do new things in our lives. And we'll begin to see our relationship grow. We'll see our quiet times will become like, whoa, you know, God said this to me, or God said, because I'm not telling you don't pray for your family, but I'm saying to you, don't get tired, and you're tired of the same prayer over and over, and it becomes like a ritual to you. It's, you know, then you've gone into a place of, you know, kind of like a Catholic. So be careful of not getting into that place of being tired of having your quiet time and being like sick and tired of what you say. You know, begin to ask the Holy Spirit to show you. And don't allow the enemy to bring condemnation on you. Oh, you didn't pray with this person, you didn't pray. Because that's what he'll do to you. Okay? Because then you'll start feeling condemned. Then you didn't do what you normally do. Because if you live, the Bible says that those who walk by the Spirit are led by the Spirit. Okay? So, you know, yeah, cover your family, whatever, but then God just kind of really speak to you in your quiet time. The Holy Spirit is the third person, the Godhead. The Holy Spirit teaches and directs us to all truth. He convicts us of sin and helps us to grow in our relationship with God. He is the greatest teacher and counselor. And invite the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He wouldn't come until you invite him. And invite him to come. Say, Holy Spirit, I welcome you. You know, and begin to have a relationship with him. Lots of times, people don't identify with the Holy Spirit. They just begin to talk. let the Holy Spirit really begin to identify with him. Let him begin to speak to you. Begin to hear what he's saying. You know, be quiet. Don't go into your prayer closet, and if you're going to be, I want to get in here before I want to get out, you're not going to get anything. If you're in a hurry, don't waste your time going into your prayer closet. Don't go in there, because you know what? You're not going to be able to get anything from God, because your mind is going to be like, what's the time now? What's the time now? You know? You'd rather go into your prayer closet when you have that time, you know, of I can give God this time. Close your door. And also, being like having a quiet time in a ritual. Okay, I have my, I'm going to do my Bible reading today. Okay, I'll do my Bible reading and I'm done. If that Bible reading didn't do anything for you, you're wasting your time. Forget about the Bible reading. Because I don't believe that, you know, someone will say, oh, I did my Bible reading today. But if it didn't penetrate into your heart, God didn't speak to you in that time, you are being deceived in your relationship with God. Because lots of the times we go and do our Bible readings because we just want to tick over there. We're going to be reading the Bible during the year. But it's not gone deep inside. God won't speak to you. There's no relationship. So be wise of also thinking that, you know, you're gonna get something from God when you're being deceived. Okay, the blood of Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. The blood of Jesus is another weapon now where there is absolute remission, forgiveness, and cancellation of penalty of these sins and law breaking. There is no longer any offering made for atonement for sin. Okay, it's Hebrews 10:18-20. Therefore, brethren, since we have full freedom and confidence to enter into the Holy of Holies by the power and virtues in the blood of Jesus, by this fresh, new, living way, which is initiated and dedicated and opened for us through the separating curtain veil of the Holy of Holies, that is through his flesh. Hebrews 10:18-20. I just felt like God told me to share something with y'all. Okay. What happens, you know, when we sin in our lives, okay, when we ask, you know, God has forgiven us for sin, yes, you know, because of the blood of Jesus. And what happens, because it says up here, you know, our sins are cancelled. And but what happens if we sin and then we go to God and we ask for forgiveness and then we go in and do it again? And then we are going to God and ask for forgiveness and then we go do it again. So what do you think happens place of our lives? Anybody? First of all, if we take our sins so lightly and we don't recognize that repentance is turning away from your sin, you are taking Jesus and you're continuing to go and nail him on the cross, and you've become numb in that area of receiving forgiveness because you have not walked away. And so be very careful of keep on going and doing the same thing in repetitive and going, and then you know what? There's no forgiveness for our sin anymore. So we as Christians need to be very, very careful of that, that we can take grace and we can really use grace in a place that, you know, that we don't. Because I have had some young people that I've counseled, and it's kind of like, you know, they do the same thing over and over. And you know what? I think some people struggle with that. But they, you know, we have consequence for our sin, you know, because if we do that continuously, I mean, like someone that that's dealing with pornography, you know, keep on saying, God forgive me, God forgive me, God forgive me, but they keep on going back there and don't allow God to set them free, then you know what, there is a huge problem there. So if there's anything that, you know, that you see even that people are struggling with, you know, maybe it's a stronghold, maybe they need to be delivered or whatever, you know, but we need to walk in the truth of God's word. We cannot keep on sinning and thinking that God will forgive us for our sins when we do the same thing over and over. Make sense? Okay. Testifying the truth and sharing our testimonies. You know, lots of times, let me just share. And with great strength and ability, the power, the apostles delivered their testimonies to their to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in great grace. Loving kindness and favor and goodness rested richly upon all of them. Acts 4:33. Sharing our testimony is very, very powerful. You know, lots of the times when you share the gospel, when you want to minister to someone and they don't receive, it's kind of very difficult to sometimes share the gospel with someone. But if you share your testimony, no one can take your testimony away from you. Your testimony is something that you have, that you experience, that you is not opening the Bible to them. And so be very sensitive in if you want to share with someone, then the Holy Spirit says, share your testimony. And you know what? Because you probably shared your testimony like 100 times and you kind of feel like, oh, my testimony is, you know. But your testimony is very powerful. No one can take your testimony away. And so, share your testimony that God can change people through your testimony of changing somebody's life. Because it's for you, it's probably, oh my word, it's so old and it's kind of like, you know, I go, oh, testimony again, Lord, you know. But if God moves on your heart, God wants to touch somebody's life. You want to say something there?
I was just going to say, I think, not because we're running out of time, but because I think we're running out of brain space.
Right. Yeah. I was going to just finish the last one.
Okay.
That I was going to do.
Yeah.
Okay, the last one is praise and worship. And I think all of us know that praise removes obstacles. Worship brings us into the presence of God. And that's a weapon that we can use. That's a huge weapon we can use against the evil one. In our quiet times, in the place of when we want breakthrough, sometimes, you know, in our quiet times, if you're feeling like, I don't even have a quiet time, put your praise and worship on. You know, change the spiritual atmosphere over your home, you know, even your car. Put your worship on, begin to worship God. Begin to change the spiritual atmosphere. You know, years ago, I'll share this testimony and we'll be done. Years ago, I was probably... not even a year, probably a year Christian. And now, all of you don't know my testimony, but I came out of a Hindu background, and I went through a major divorce. My ex-husband, he had an affair with my best friend, and so we got divorced, and I tried to commit suicide, and that's how I came to the Lord. But, and when I came to the Lord, God really, I got saved really radically. You know, I mean, from the day I got saved, you know, after I got saved, God started speaking to me. I opened the Bible and the word started jumping off. But, you know, and after a month, I started praying in tongues and that. So, I mean, God obviously knew that what I needed. But my ex-husband and his girlfriend used to continue calling me and abusing me on the telephone, just swearing me and abusing me. One day, I was with my partner and I picked up the phone and this abusive telephone call. And all I knew to do to God was I would cry. I was like a baby. I would just cry, you know. And so, I'm in my lounge and I put the phone down and I'm just crying. And the Holy Spirit says to me, I've given you the weapons, now use it. And I'm like, what? And I'm just crying. And he said, I have given you the weapons, now use it. So, I don't know what weapons he's talking about. I'm just a new Christian, and all I didn't even know, but what I did was I just picked up my arms and I just begin to worship. I just begin to praise God. I just begin to worship Him. I just begin to... But I am just crying and I'm doing this. And the most amazing thing happened. I began to see this. I mean, suddenly I began to just walk in my lounge and just begin to worship Him and just begin to praise Him. And this is a baby Christian, eh? And suddenly I recognized that the spiritual atmosphere began to change. That heaviness began to leave and the Spirit of God, the presence of God started coming in. And it was just amazing. And that was the beginning of spiritual warfare for me, of God teaching me how to get into presence. And that's why praise and worship is really, really important to change the spiritual atmosphere of our lives. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you that your word, Father, that we spoke today, Lord. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you would just allow your word, Father, to penetrate through the hearts of your church, Lord. I pray that you would mold your word, Father, by your Spirit in the areas, Father, each one of us needed, Lord. That you would bring healing, that you would restore. I thank you, Lord, that your breath, Father, can bring newness. It can break down shackles and chains and bring restoration, Father. So I just thank you that that every word, Lord, that was spoken today, Lord, that you would bring and remind each one of us, Lord, that what you want to deal in our lives with, what you want to bless us, what you want to show us, and that we can recognize spiritual warfare in our lives, Father. So we bless you this afternoon, Father. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that we can grow. Thank you for growth. Thank you, Lord, that whatever was spoken, that would glorify you, Father. And Father, any word that was not spoken, that was not from you, I pray it will just fall into dead ground. But Father, I thank you that your word will go forth and you will bring us into a place of victory, Father. So Lord, we want to say we love you, we honor you, and we just thank you, Father, for continuing to work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.